Tell me more, tell me more. Like, does he have a car? Yep.
We may not have a car collectively, but we do have a Patreon, which, and welcome to Parks and Rewatch. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Joy.
And today, it is all about the cones.
It's all about the cones.
Because we are diving into Season 6, Episode 9, The Cones of
Dunshire.
And we're not excited at all.
No, what? No. What? No. Yeah.
Joy, would you care to explain today's episode of the day?
I am so excited. I was sitting thinking, okay, I could just write a normal poem. It would be fine. Because you referenced haiku last time, maybe I could write a haiku. Maybe. And then I realized, really, it's all about the cones.
It's all about the cones.
So I wrote a poem that looks like a cone. So might have to like screenshot that and post it in the group or something, but it is all about the cones. So every line I did, I added a syllable up to 10. So Joe, would you please synopsize us?
It is all about the stakes in the game.
Oh, you thought I was going to say cones.
Building and selling. Finding what you really want. What are you willing to risk? $8 cabin? Problem solved. Lockbox costs singing and fake favors. Because it is all about the cones. Yeah.
That, yeah, it's clutch right there. It got me to 10 syllables. Woo! How do you feel reading that? Isn't that great?
I feel like it's a very specific feeling, and I'm really struggling to put it into words. It's like when you go to a museum or something like that, and you see something incredibly cool, but also wildly functional. Or I don't know, maybe like the bike that you ride across the ceiling at Union Station.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
It's like seeing that.
Okay. Thank you for the compliment.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate it. Time for some behind the scenes of trivia. Okay, IMDb said, among the Japanese paraphernalia in Councilman Jam's home is a poster written in kanji, which is visible over his shoulder as he cooks scrambled eggs on his authentic Benihana table. The poster translates as North Korea. I can't say I'm surprised. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 2015, Mayfair Games, who were the makers of Settlers of Catan, which is now just Catan because colonialization and settlers and all of that, launched a Kickstarter campaign to produce a real playable version of Cones of Dunshire. Kickstarter failed because for a $150 pledge, you got a deluxe game box.
Wow.
The actual game required a $500 pledge. So
wow.
The sleeve patch on the right arm of Chris's ref shirt is the sleeve patch for the UEFA Champions League, which is a Europe-wide football slash, you know, for us Americans, soccer competition for the best teams from each of Europe's top soccer leagues. So that's pretty cool. Leslie asked Councilman Jam, you enjoy the ancient art of karaoke, yes? This is almost identical to a line Amy Poehler's character has in Baby Mama from 2008, I was just practicing the ancient Japanese art of karaoke. Interesting. Do you have any thoughts on any of these?
No, I suppose not. I was trying to think of something clever and it didn't come. And it's morning. It is precisely 7:12, and I don't know how many seconds because my clock doesn't do that.
50, 51, 52, 53, 54. It's
Mountain Standard Time.
Cool.
I decided best not to try and force it, or I'd probably hurt myself.
Wait, are you on daylight time?
Yes. Yeah.
So it'd be Mountain Daylight Time?
Well, no. Mountain Standard Time.
Well, there's Central Standard Time, which is when daylight savings time is not a thing, and there's Central Daylight Time, which we are in daylight savings right now, right? Is it off right now or is it on right now? Oh my gosh, I can't.
It's happening.
I can't
it's happening.
Do this.
I don't remember. It's either MST or MDT. I don't remember which one it is. I think it's like, MDT, but that could be totally wrong.
It's like when you hang out with a pair of twins and they're like, oh, you can tell them apart by this. And then it's like, wait, which one did they say that about?
Yeah.
Oh, no. And I'm not panicking. You're panicking. It's fine.
Yes.
It's fine. We're fine.
Yeah,
Everything's fine. Absolutely.
We're
okay.
Fine. We're professionals.
Yeah.
We didn't get tripped up by time zones.
Googling, are we in daylight savings time? Okay, so daylight savings time begins March 13th and ends November 6th. There we go. So we are currently in daylight saving time. Wow, some people say it daylight saving. Yeah, like the Google says daylight saving time. It's not savings. I ain't putting that daylight in a savings account. Ain't getting me no savings.
Currently,
all right,
Googling, is life a simulation?
Are we in the metaverse?
Does
is
the whale
fine?
Really sim-
Is there a can of Verner's in the background somewhere?
Sadly, no. Not here.
Okay. So, dives. Up top, we're going to talk about hibachi and edamame. And in the boofs, we're going to talk about the cones of Dunshire. And I put that in the boofs to give me a chance to wake up before going into the ultimate nerd of all the things that I found on the cones of Dunshire. So, if you want to learn more about it, got to be a patron. Join us in our super exclusive club. Okay, hibachi. Jam bought a Benihana hibachi table for $4,000. This was actually a really fascinating dive. It landed in a different place than what I thought. So prepare yourself for a minor mind blown. Just a minor one. I know we already blew your mind with daylight saving time.
I was going to say, Joy, I'm fragile right now.
Fragile. Must be French. No, Italian. Okay. The hibachi is a traditional Japanese heating device. It's a brazier. Oh gosh. Brazier is like.
Yeah, that's underwear.
Yeah, that's like feminine underwear of some sort.
Is it brazier?
Brazier. There we go. Should say, you know, words are hard.
They are.
It's a brazier. Brazier. Yes.
It's a Bradley.
Yeah. Oh, tank. Okay. Which is either round cylindrical. Yep. Cylindrical.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm going down. Okay. Which is either round, cylindrical, or box-shaped, open-topped container made from or lined with a heat-proof material, and it's designed to hold burning charcoal. It's believed hibachi date back to the Heian period, which is 794 to 1185. It's filled with incombustible ash, and charcoal sits in the center of the ash. To handle the charcoal, a pair of metal chopsticks called hibachi is used in a way similar to Western fire irons or tongs. Hibachi were used for heating, not for cooking. It heats by radiation and is too weak to warm a whole room, often disappointing foreigners who expected such power. That's just a really weird sentence to me. Sometimes people placed a tetsubin, which is an iron kettle, over the hibachi to boil water for tea. Later, by the 1900s, some cooking was also done over the hibachi. So that's super interesting. So a hibachi is basically a round pot that holds charcoal to heat a small area. But like, you better make sure you have good ventilation or you will die of carbon dioxide and monoxide poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. In North America, the term hibachi refers to a small cooking stove heated by charcoal or to an iron hot plate used in teppanyaki restaurants. So then I was like, what's teppanyaki? I've never heard that word before. So teppanyaki is also often confused with hibachi. It's a post-World War II style of Japanese cuisine that uses an iron griddle to cook food. The originator of the teppanyaki-style steakhouse is believed to be Shigeji Fujioka of the Japanese restaurant chain Misono. You knew that, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Absolutely. The restaurant claims to be the first to introduce the concept of cooking Western-influenced food on a teppan in Japan in 1945. They soon found the cuisine was less popular with Japanese than it was with foreigners, who enjoyed both watching the skilled maneuvers of the chefs preparing the food and the cuisine itself, which is somewhat more familiar than more traditional Japanese dishes. As the restaurants became popular tourists, the chain increased the performance aspect of the chef's preparation, such as stacking onion slices to produce a flaming onion volcano. Who came up with that stuff?
I don't know. It's pretty amazing to watch, though.
They had too much time on their hands, but it was it's super fun. So if you all haven't gone to a hibachi or teppanyaki, as I now know it is, restaurant, it's pretty sweet. Try it out. Any thoughts on hibachi or teppanyaki?
I've never actually been to one. I've been to a combination sushi restaurant and hibachi grill. We went to the sushi portion, but we could see what was going on in the hibachi portion. So that's about as knowledgeable as I am about this
stuff. You've half been there.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Well, I hope your half experience was wonderful.
It was half wonderful.
Oh,
Was it wonder
or was it full?
Both.
Which half was it? Was your cup half wonder full or half full?
We had sushi there. Okay. It was good sushi.
Okay. Okay, how do you feel about edamame?
I like edamame very much.
I love edamame.
So good.
I hope my emphasis helped you understand how much I love edamame.
What's your favorite way to eat edamame?
Any?
Yes.
Okay, pro tip. If you have a Costco near you, which I guess all the Costcos have different inventory, the Costco near me in my nondescript location, which I cannot tell you, which is probably Seattle, the Costco near me has frozen edamame with individual steam bags inside of it.
Mm.
So have I definitely many times now just thrown a bag of edamame into the microwave for 2 minutes and 30 seconds and taken it out and doused it in, you know, things like butter or lemon juice and random spices like tahini or lemon pepper or, you know, garlic salt. Have I definitely done that? Yes, I definitely have. Has it been worth everything? Yes. Have I dipped them in soy sauce? No, because I'm having fun with seasonings. But I will say, unlike jam, I do not eat the shells.
Mm.
I just eat the seeds.
Well, to each his own, I guess.
I guess. So let's talk about...
I guess we should say, for people who actually might not know, it is exactly the opposite with edamame. You eat the seeds and you do not eat the shells or the pods.
Well, it's not even seeds. It's beans,
yeah,
technically.
Yeah, it's beans. And the pods are very stringy and tough. Yeah.
You try to chew that, you're going to end up looking like a camel. That's how it goes.
You don't want to look like a camel.
No, obviously. Don't look like a camel. Just eat the beans. Pro tip from us in the morning.
I feel like we've helped everyone out very much.
Our work here is finished and goodbye. Okay. Edamame is a preparation of immature soybeans in the pod found in cuisines with origins in East Asia. I didn't know they were soybeans. Did you know they were soybeans?
I think I actually did know that.
I just thought they were their own category of goodness and life and brightness.
So somehow the fact that they're a soybean has detracted from the edamame experience for you.
No, the discovery of it has only enticed me further.
Oh, okay.
So now I will eat more. You know what? I should probably eat edamame today. Mm-hmm. That's how this is going to work.
Yep. All right. That sounds like a good plan.
Cool. The pods are boiled or steamed and may be served with salt or other condiments. In Japan, they're usually blanched in 4% salt water and not served with salt. When the beans are outside the pod, the term mukamame is also sometimes used in Japanese. In Japan, the name edamame is commonly used to refer to the dish. It literally means stem beans. So harvesting. Edamame is typically harvested by hand to avoid damaging the crop's stems and leaves. Green soybean pods are picked before they fully ripen, typically 35 to 40 days after the crop first flowers. Soybeans harvested at this stage are sweeter because they contain more sucrose than the soybeans picked later in the growing season. For cooking, pods may be boiled in water, steamed, or microwaved. The ends of the pod are sometimes cut before boiling or steaming. The most common preparations use salt for taste, either dissolved in the boiling water before introducing the soybean pods or added after cooking. Edamame is a popular side dish at Japanese izakaya restaurants, with local varieties being in demand depending on the season. Salt and garlic are typical condiments for edamame. In Japan, a coarse salt wet? What? A coarse salt wet? A coarse salt wet.
A coarse salt wet.
With brine? A coarse salt wet with brine. So you wet the salt with a salty brine? Or is the brine wet with the salt? Why can't I get past this?
I think it's this stunning wordplay on the part of the person who wrote the article.
And they're now laughing at me.
They probably are.
I can
are.
Feel it.
They're like,
got you, fool. Anyway, okay, cool. I'm just going to move on past that sentence. For eating it, edamame can come in two forms, either the pods or just the beans themselves. Edamame beans are easy to eat and can be cooked just like any other type of beans. The pods require using the teeth, which teeth? We're not sure, but the teeth, to slide edamame beans into the mouth. Again, which mouth? We're not really sure, but the mouth. After which the pods or shells are discarded. Eating them with chopsticks has been characterized as requiring some skill. That sentence just seems out of place, but thank you so much. All right.
You know, I think writing with good grammar also requires some skill.
It does. Wet with salt brine. Yep. Any thoughts on edamame before we move on?
Just that I want some.
I do too. I'll do that soon. I'm coming for you, edamame. I'm coming. Okay. Time for our likes and dislikes, where we discuss what we liked about the episode and what we didn't like so much. Joe, what you got?
I like that the letters to Cleo shirt returns.
Oh, man, it's an omen.
I like the cones of Dunshire, of course.
Yep.
Of course I like the cones of Dunshire.
Yep.
It looks so fun, and it also looks like something I would never want to play.
Correct.
It really is a compliment to Ben Wyatt how complex and detailed it looks.
Oh, just wait till the booths.
Yeah. I am anticipation.
You are anticipation. Congratulations.
The salt of my thoughts is wet with the brine of anticipation. That sounds real bad.
Oh, no.
I don't know. About a brine.
I don't know. The brine is already salty. Why are we then wetting salt and putting it on it? I don't understand.
Wow. So yeah,
we're
the cones of Dunshire are fine, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. I feel things.
Mm, I feel things as well.
Okay.
I like Leslie, quote, attacking Councilman Milton.
Oh my gosh. They keep giving Milton some of the best one-liners.
I know. He is in this episode for probably 5 seconds, and it's fantastic. I like that Donna is wearing almost the exact same outfit on her realtor business card as she is when she pulls out her realtor business card.
Correct. I did stare at that for a good minute or so. Mm-hmm. It's very close to being the same, but very subtle differences.
Yeah. The necklace is different. A couple
other
things.
The shirt is different. Yeah.
But still, way to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Represent. Be cool.
Sure.
Be consistent. Edamame, wet salt bread. Yeah,
I knew it was gonna go there. I knew it was.
With the brine of my tears. Okay.
Oh. I love
new band name. I call it the brine of what? My tears. New
Ooh.
Band name. I call it.
Ooh, nicely done.
Okay, sorry. Carry on.
I love the running joke of Barney, Ted, and the accounting firm.
Ugh, so good.
I didn't know if you noticed this or not, but I like that the impossible case that then is given has the name Lerpus on the side of the file
I
box.
I did, and I said that in all caps, and I said, the lore builds!
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so glad we started, like... This is another one of the great things about this podcast is like we're noticing those tiny details that normally would just slip through. But it's like the Lerpus family has a deep hold in Pawnee.
Yes, they do.
And we only see a small bit of it.
Yeah. I like I've mentioned before, I think I've watched through Parks and Rec probably 7 or 8 times before doing this podcast. Never once did I notice what the name on the side of that file box was, and it's Lerpus.
Isn't that amazing? So. You can find so many things when you hit pause.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, bye.
Yeah. When you are dissecting every detail of a show for making a podcast.
When you have a co-host like Joy Bork who pushes you to push pause.
I like that Chris compares himself to Dr. Phil, only qualified.
Yeah. I don't know which one I would trust more. I think I'd be scared of both, but...
That is true. That's a good thought. Mm-hmm. At least qualified in the area of city council things.
Yes. And he has a ref shirt, and so that counts for something, right?
Yes. I like that Ron owns 4 cabins. 2 cabins.
It's such a classic Ron move.
No.
He may or may not have things buried at both.
I like
4 of them.
Okay, so I had to remember what I was thinking when I wrote this. I like the no shoes you lose.
Uh-huh.
No shoes. Mm-hmm.
Be funny.
I love it. I absolutely love April out hipstering the hipsters.
Her ability to chameleon is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that just speaks to Aubrey Plaza as well.
Yes. She just flips a switch and it's delightful.
Magical.
I like the Summer Nights duet. Like the twist of Jam taking Sandra D.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
And so the best part of that duet becomes Leslie's, whatever the guy's name is.
Isn't
Zuko?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that Chris wants all the DVDs of it.
What is he going to do with them?
I don't know.
I had beef with that.
But I understood the impulse.
But the lady's face that he was talking to was my favorite, where she's just like, make up your mind. I'll make all of them. I don't care. Just what do you want?
I do. I did love that. I like that Chris is a fair and impartial referee. shown when he is forced to red card Leslie.
Yes. Yes.
I like the pizza party that the accounting firm throws. That is peak Ben Wyatt. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I love the, those are calzones. I mean, it is just so good. I love it so much. And then I like that Leslie is Jam's best friend, too. I think that this is the episode where Jam kind of turns a corner.
I hope so.
I think we've seen it hinted at before, but I think this is where they throw the twist in that he's not just a villain. I think that this is where he truly becomes the Joker to Leslie's Batman in a deeper sense.
He wanted to be Lex Luthor. He's rich.
Yes. The Joker, I don't know if he's rich, but if you know anything about the Batman-Joker relationship, the Joker at least feels like they have some sort of connection. And sees their relationship as something that has kind of transcended just Batman and criminal kind of thing.
Yeah. That feels like the BBC Sherlock series with Benedict Cumberbatch. Feels like the relationship with Sherlock and Moriarty, too. Like, it's finally found an equal and, like, respect it because the competition is finally something to stimulate the mind.
Yes.
But also, it's tricky. It's very interesting to watch.
So we've had that sort of twist revealed that Jam actually, I think we've known for a while that Jam is very lonely. Mm-hmm. But also that he desperately wants to be Leslie's friend, but is so just twisted and broken of a person that for him that looks very different than a normal person.
Yeah.
And so we get to see Jam from here kind of branch out a little bit and not just do villain things, but actually sort of act out his desperate need to belong and fit in the toxic ways that manifests, which are really funny in the show. So I'm very excited for that.
It gives me hope that you said this is the episode that he turns the corner because I'm so over it.
I like Ben leaving the accounting firm, the Cones of Dunshire.
Yes.
And the fact that his doing so pays off in a huge and unexpected way in season 7. Love it. And I like that everyone at the accounting firm calls Ledgerman.
Obviously. Give me the numbers.
So that's what I liked. What did you like about this episode?
The Leslie going in for nucks with Milton and he's like, the girl is attacking me. I love the small detail of Tom saying video Ron demand. Super funny. Ron's description of the house for sale, small house, location, forest. I mean, he made his boundaries very clear. Current owner will not clean up shotgun shells or animal carcasses.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And, you know, of course, Donna just got her real estate license and holds her cards in her bra. Of course it's also called Regal Meagle. What else would it be called? And you know what? Find your castle. And they're like, split that commish, which is like treat yourself. Split that commish. I love Tom's mogul dreams. I think he would be an awful mogul skier, but I do support mogul dreams. And it's really hard for me to say for some reason.
Mogul.
Mogul. I love.
Oh, that's funny.
I love Barney being like, Ted, he's here.
Ted.
Do we ever see Ted?
I don't know. That's
I don't think
question.
We ever see Ted, but he just gets yelled at. I love Barney and Frank. I love that Frank took the job when Ben passed it up the last time. He's heard good things about Ben. A little too good. Let's see if you live up to the hype. Cutthroat accounting, everybody.
Uh-huh.
Woo! And Ted, Poor guy. We never actually see him, but good for you. I love Barney's utter joy in giving Ben their toughest case, mm-hmm. the Lurpus case. And then Frank being like, so let's see what you got, genius. Oh, that's a great idea. We thought of that a month ago.
Yeah. So good.
And then again, like Ben being like, if I'm murdered tonight, start the investigation with those two guys. Perfect zoom out to Barney and Frank just standing there at the window being like, hi. Hi. It's so funny. And then Barney's joy being like, Saturday at the firm with Ben, which just how he did that reminded me of Wallace and Gromit, where, mm-hmm. you know, Wallace, like curls his fingers down and puts his thumbs underneath them, kind of like sign language E, and he's just like, cheese, yeah. Gromit, cheese. It's like, ooh, Saturday's at the firm with Ben. Yes, Wensleydale. it's fine, I'm fine, everything's fine. And then Barney being like, oh, Ben, say it again. But this time, I'm going to turn the light on like you just had an idea. Some writer was really proud of that line, and they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like that Chris is on Leslie's side, but he can't pick sides, but he could mediate like a qualified Dr. Phil. Ron's slip up of telling us that he has four cabins. Just kidding. Two cabins. I like, there's just so much Ron lore in this one sentence where it's like, mm-hmm. you know what? Make it five. I don't want you getting any ideas about us being friends. And then Donna's response is just like, respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Ron's joy at wanting to stay outside and watch the shadows get longer. The small throwaway detail of the $8 DKNY irregular skirt. So funny. Of course she would buy an $8 irregular DKNY skirt mm-hmm. while she's ravaging the mall for everything else. And then Jam's like, you can take the couch if you can get my exercise equipment out of the way. And Leslie just picks up 2 3-pound hand weights. So funny.
Yes.
So funny. Yeah. I love that the Grease duet and Jam is Sandra D. I love that Jam finds Morgan Freeman's voice very grating. That is hilarious. Hilarious. And I love April buying the cabin. Her justification is that she'd take Andy and Champion up there and look at spiders, and it's where she'd bury the bodies of that annoying couple after she murders them. And the offer is everything in April's purse. $8, a bunch of loose cough drops, and Larry's asthma inhaler.
Larry, this is part of a real estate transaction. You have no legal claim to it.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know. I love that that is the best offer that Ron has heard yet. Mm-hmm. And then Donna and Tom's commish is just some coins. I love that Ben got a raise and his fridge is full of calzones. So there's no complaints there. And then the ultimate nerdiness at the Cones of Dunshire, pass off to the accounting firm and the fight over Ledgerman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, those actors perfectly captured Nerdtopia joy.
Yes.
At being able to look at something complicated and like find so much beauty in it. Like that is the exact audience that the Cones of Dunshire is meant for. And I love every minute of it.
Yes.
I do have a couple of mid-likes. The Letters to Cleo shirt is back, which is both excitement on my end for what Ben will create and also watch out.
Yeah.
Watch it kinda, out.
It almost feels like some Norse fairy tale where the thing that shows up might not be good the or omen. Bad. It might be both.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Leslie's tally of head-to-heads with Jam. Like, it's cool. And also, like, that's exhausting. Mm-hmm. There's no way I would have energy for that. But, like, good on her. And also, it just feels like when I look at that list, you're just hitting your head on a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
So fun for you. Fun. Good job. Of course, Jam has a Benihana hibachi grill, but like, why? But also, I want one.
I wonder if that's like, how different is that from people who have Blackstones?
It's about the same.
That makes sense.
I did do some research into hibachi grills, and you can get a standalone hibachi grill station meant for hotel use for about $2,000 to $4,000. You can get all kinds of like different hibachi stove, hibachi grill drop-ins that are anywhere from like $1,000 to $5,000-$6,000. I didn't do too much research into what made them different, but there are possibilities out there. I don't know if you noticed this, but when they went to sing karaoke, they brought the edamame with them.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Like, I don't know if they brought it with them or they ordered it there, but I want to tell the story that they brought it with them, and they even brought the soy sauce and the chopsticks.
Yeah, I'll go there.
It's like the same level of detail lore as when they went outside to look at Jam's car and the stenographer went with them with her chair and table. Of course. And also, you don't make sushi rolls out of tuna salad.
Now, I have a question. Is this a mid-like because you kind of want to try it?
It's a mid-like because it's funny. And also, I feel sorry for the guy. He's just trying so hard, but he has no clue. And also, tuna salad?
See,
you can do so much better than that.
I know, but that just makes me start to like try to think of ways where you could plus it up and actually make a good something resembling a sushi roll out of tuna salad as a base component.
Well, if there's rice and tempura, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to think on that.
All right. What'd you dislike, Joe?
I disliked just a couple of things. Number one, who would actually answer the door in an open robe and boxers?
Jam.
I mean, if I did, the amount of shame I would feel.
Shame.
The just horror at myself if I did that. I won't even answer the door in a closed robe. I mean,
okay.
If someone knocks on the door and I'm in PJs or something, I'm complete changing before I get up there.
Interesting.
So, yeah, a open robe and boxers is just mortifying to me. And then my second dislike is that those scrambled eggs look dry as sand.
Like, yeah, yes, yes, they do, yes, gross.
Like, overcooked feels like it's not a strong enough descriptor.
Yeah.
So what did you like about dislike about this episode?
Jam Orthodontics mini basketball hoops.
Those look like some painful braces.
Why you gotta spend your money on that?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't like how they just showed up at Jam's unannounced. Totes awkward. I'm definitely of the persuasion that I don't just drop in on people. So if you happen to come find me in my nondescript blue room in Seattle, don't just drop in on me. Warn me. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. They staged the books in Ron's cabin with pages out, not spines out. And that just feels sus to me for some reason.
I wonder if that has anything to do with copyright.
Yeah, but there's a part of me that's like, they've had spines out on books.
Yeah.
Like in Tammy's office, in like all of these other places.
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird.
I mean, they could put the parenting books back there. They could, all the things that they've created for the show itself.
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Anyway, why would Chris want to buy 20 DVDs of the karaoke? What are you going to do with them? Give them as giveaways? No, those are going to sit on your shelf and collect dust. And I feel like Chris is a minimalist. So what is he going to do with 20 DVDs? And then he's probably going to have shame about throwing them away. So then it's just going to create this whole moral dilemma. And I don't think Chris needs to manage that type of feelings right now. Anyway, it's complicated. And once again, Leslie knows that her fierce competition is all about Anne, but she still makes it about other things.
Mm-hmm.
That's frustrating to me. And now, It's time for the coronation of the beautiful rule-breaking moth, the segment in which we choose one specific thing that was a breakout star of the episode. Joe.
My beautiful rule-breaking moth is Ben's wink to the camera before heading back into the calzone party.
Yes, 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 yes.
Just that wink, that fourth wall breaking wink, to me is perfection in realizing a character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is so much that is said in that, just in that one gesture, that one expression. To me, it's like a serotonin shot every time I see it. It's like, oh my gosh.
So I should just send you gifts of that wink all the time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Great. Great. Great.
What about you? Who or what is your beautiful rule-breaking moth?
I just love everything with the accounting firm.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they're in an episode, I feel so happy.
Yes.
So happy. In fact, I'm going to make an edit to a certain part of the show notes because my feelings have changed. All right. And now. Cheese, Gromit. Cheese. I would like some Wensleydale. If you happen to be watching the video, you'll see that Joe just did the excited fingers / sign language E, and he gave he bit his lower lip in because that's what Wallace looks like. And he got some cheese, Gromit. Cheese. The moon is made of cheese. Okay, it's time.
Yeah.
For.
I'm all over the place. Oh, you should get a different co-host.
No, I like you. Don't leave me. Don't do it.
Wow, I am with it now. It's time to shame.
The Jerry, the part of the show where we shame one particular thing for bringing the episode down or being unnecessarily annoying. Joe,
my Jerry is just the fact that poor Barney once again. Nothing in life more than to work with Ben Wyatt, and he always is getting so close. Mm. And this time he had it. Mm. He had that one beautiful Saturday at the firm with Ben
and Chinese takeout,
and then he lost it again.
Okay, but sad. Part of the shaming of the Jerry is it's like that thing brought the episode down or was annoying, but I don't feel like that was a downer.
It brings it down for me just because there's always been a part of me that wants to see Barney happy in getting Ben to work at the firm. And
yeah, for longer than a day.
Yeah, they basically just spin off and like, I guess it like, I would have loved to have, I don't know, like a season long arc of Ben at the accounting firm. I think that would be interesting. Amazing.
Huh.
So, or at least longer than one episode.
Okay, that's totally valid. That's valid. My Jerry is that just Jam feels so gross to me in this episode. Just like grody. Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But on a happier note, it's time for the awarding of the Lil Sebastian. Ceremony in which we rate each episode against the entire catalog of Parks and Recreation episodes by awarding it between 1 and 5. Lil Sebastian's joy.
Me.
How many Lil Sebastians would you rate the Cones of Dunshire?
I originally had 4, but then after talking about it, I realized I actually really love this episode. And there's so much lore that's built in this episode, and there's so much happy in this episode. So I changed my vote.
Oh, man.
To a 5.
Woo!
What's yours, Joe?
I rated this episode a 5.
What?
Which means... Oh, and we have the button back.
I found the button.
This episode is officially inducted into the Parks and Rewatch Hall of Fame. Oh, man, the speed.
I'm just making up for lost button pushes.
And now it's time to ask that all-important question.
Where in the world
is John
Ralphie?
Oh. Yeah. As always, this segment's for episodes where the character is not featured. We speculate where he might be and what he might be doing. Choi!
Joe!
What do you think John Ralphio's up to during the events of the Cones of Dunshire?
I think he went to see Ron's cabin since it was listed online for a hot minute. He got lost along the way. He's stuck in the forest. He's been trying to find his way back for 3 days. He's been unsuccessful at building a fire. And again, just like last week, his phone is out of battery.
Oh, no.
He's trying to use his swanky silk scarf as a flag to catch the attention of the raccoon gang, but they aren't even out looking for him yet. Maybe tomorrow.
Oh, man. Watch out for those razor-sharp perimeter defense planks.
Right? Razor-sharp implies metal and honing, and those planks were not honed.
Yeah, I've always beefed with that a little bit, too. Like, they're pointy, but razor-sharp,
no. I mean, there was razor wire on them.
Yeah.
But details. Anyway, where do you think he is?
I think he partied with Jam after Leslie and Chris went home because Jam wasn't ready to call it a night.
Hmm.
I mean, that part was obvious. So they bumped into each other and then they fought over who got to sing the higher part in every karaoke song.
Makes total sense.
Jam fell asleep with his head in a bowl of edamame.
That I hope I dream about that tonight.
John Ralphio ate the sand eggs and isn't feeling great.
I wonder why.
It's not his worst night, though. Oh, it's time to do Johnny Karate's
karaoke karate
to success.
Yes.
Joy, what do you want to karate chop this week?
I just saw your karate chop and I agree with you. I'll just state that and you can say yours later. The thing I just thought of when I was thinking about all the random things that irritate me, the one that I thought of today was loose electrical plugs.
Ooh.
Like when you try to go plug something in and the whole thing shifts because the electrical plug box that's in the wall isn't actually attached. Drives me nuts.
Yep. I absolutely agree.
Nuts, I tell you. Nuts.
Nuts, I say.
Yeah. What was that? I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
What am I doing with my life?
That was like you were going to comically agree and then the ghost of a yawn just reached out and tripped you.
What are you talking about? That's definitely not what happened. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Joe, what are you going to karate chop?
So I'm going to karate chop the movie Grease.
Amen.
I never got the appeal when I was younger. A lot of people I knew my age when I was in, you know, middle school and stuff were really into it. I get it less now.
Yeah.
It just seems like looking back through a modern lens, it's even less flattering.
Very true.
Like it struck me as weird then. It strikes me as weirder now.
Yep.
And I get that. I mean, you can't apply like a modern lens to everything in art that was made at the time. But I think especially when it comes to areas of like consent and stuff like that. That and the fact that the movie that surrounds it, just if it was some cultural tentpole or something like that, it just missed me by a mile.
Me too. Yeah.
So then I don't know that I've ever been a huge Travolta fan.
I just frankly have not found it in myself to care.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something that I've seen Travolta in that I was like, oh, he was really good in that.
I got nothing.
The only one that remotely comes to mind was, I think, the movie Wax, if that is the title. where he played somebody very, I think, against type for him, and that was kind of fun. I just
Googled him, and some of the pictures of him feel very televangelist-y.
Well, he is a big time Scientologist, so you're not far off on that.
Ooh boy. Oh, in 2002 he had a Boeing 707.
Wow.
That's awkward. He owns 4 aircraft. Wow. Okay, moving on. Just going to close that window.
Who do you want to be nice to this week?
Okay. This week, I found a new recipe because when you buy Costco bananas, there's a lot of them and they all go bad at the same time. So
true. And isn't it just the most frustrating thing that with bananas?
Yes.
They're green. They're green. They're green. They're green. They're perfectly ripe and they're done.
Yeah. Well, I prefer to eat them when they're green.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. That's my favorite. Oddly enough. Anyway, so found a recipe because I was like, how can I use what we got? We got lots of bananas. Why did I say it like that? Bananas. I got some bananas.
We got lots of bananas.
I got lots of bananas. Okay, I'm going to use them and I'm going to make something with them bananas. I don't know why I feel like my face has to be a certain way.
I love this character.
I'm just kind of looking over my nose. Bananas.
I feel like you are a plucky bakery / deli owner in some part of Jersey.
You want some of my bananas? You know what? You can't have them. They don't have them on sale today. You can't have my bananas, but I got some oranges. You want an orange? I give you an orange. You want some orange in juice form? I give you an orange. It's fine. You want some coffee with that?
Oh my goodness. The orange got me. I'll give you an orange.
I feel safe to let my nerd out.
I'm so glad you did.
Found a recipe online for pita butter. Wow, let me try it again. Take two. Going downhill fast. Okay.
Pita butter. Oh. People for the ethical treatment of animals butter.
Pita butter. Ooh. Or you take a bunch of pitas and make them into butter.
Oh, so that's basically just like reconstituted dough?
Shh, we don't talk about it. It's a trade secret, Joe. Trade secret.
Oh my goodness. Oh wow. Wow. So peanut butter.
So peanut butter. Take some peanuts, make them into butter, put them with some bananas, and add some other stuff. And I found a recipe for peanut butter banana waffles.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, y'all. Miracles happen. And then inspiration struck me, and I put chicken tenders on top.
Whoa.
Which makes it...
Chicken and waffles.
Why am I doing that with my mouth?
You got so used to not having the button.
What is life? So there you go.
I'm curious. How did the banana affect the chicken and waffles component?
It was so good.
Huh.
Like, these were some of... I am convinced this is my new favorite waffle recipe.
Wow.
Like, there's protein in it. There's fruit in it. Like, they didn't come out as crispy and like they were more dense than normal waffles. But wow. they're amazing.
Wow.
And so then put chicken on top and then put some bacon with it and then a little bit of butter and syrup on top. Get yourself some peanut butter, chicken, and waffles. Joe, what do you want to be nice to? What? Who? When?
Mine is a movie recommendation.
It's a future movie recommendation. Oh.
They released a final trailer for Top Gun Maverick, as well as finally giving it a release date that isn't that far away.
Okay. Tell me more.
May 27th. So I don't know if you remember, but this movie was stolen from me/everyone.
By
COVID.
Oh.
It was supposed to come out, I think in March or April of 2020.
Wow.
And they had already released trailers and everything, and I was so excited. And then all the lockdowns happened, and it got pushed indefinitely.
Ay, ay, ay.
And the word indefinitely is a horrible word.
Horrible.
Like, if you are looking for, especially I think in gaming, like if you're looking forward to the release of a video game and then the developer comes out and says it's been delayed indefinitely.
Yeah.
That's
goodbye.
Goodbye,
all my hopes and dreams.
Yeah, that's a bad, bad sign. And so this movie was stolen from me for 2 years.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
And after 2 years of disappointment, I will finally see it. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a big deal for you.
It is. Like, Crystal had to watch the original Top Gun two nights ago. She actually started it without me. She's just like, I need to understand. Like,
okay.
Like, the second one's coming out. I guess I gotta see. And it is a cheesy 80s movie, but man, it is beautiful. There's just something about it that is incredible. And especially the fact that the theme, which is very distinctive, was written for the movie. It's very heavily electric guitar.
Music?
Yeah, the theme song specifically is just called the Top Gun Anthem.
Naturally. It's like saying Untitled, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And it is one of the most incredible, most recognizable themes of any movie ever. And when they came out with the first trailer for Top Gun Maverick, the sequel, they reimagined that theme.
Oh, man.
And when you hear the first notes of it, it was just, I was transported. I mean,
oh man.
I cannot even describe. So when it was taken away, I was heartbroken. And now, and the thing that blows my mind is there are people, I saw people commenting on the trailer, like on Facebook and stuff, that, no, it's been 2 years, pass, or whatever. I'm like, you do not deserve this movie. So, oh boy.
How are you feeling now? I was just trying to underscore your
every yeah. time. It just gets me every time. My goodness. Yeah. So I'm just so excited for Top Gun Maverick. I'm so excited.
I now wish I had an electric guitar plug-in for my ukulele. That would be nice, but I do
not.
Oh
my goodness. Oh my goodness. If you even if you just figured it out on ukulele, I'd still be so. Oh my goodness, I love this so much.
Nope.
I love it. I love it.
Anyway.
Yeah. I just got totally derailed by the Top Gun theme.
I'm really proud of you.
So we did that. Yeah, take us to the outro, Joy.
Give me a word, please.
Edamame.
Edamame. Gotta get some premature soybeans. Summer loving. That's what edamame is. I met some beans. Drenched them in butter. Oh. Well. I think I'm still turned off by the... I don't know what's going on. Or maybe you can put them in soy sauce. Wait, I don't really know this musical or this song very well, but I'm trying to do it
for
you.
No, this is so much better.
Yeah. Put them edamame packets in the microwave to those soybean pods. Wella, 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 Tell me more. Did you eat the whole pack? Tell me more. Can I get them at Costco? Go to your Costco. Give me another word.
Perimeter spikes.
Perimeter. Oh my gosh. You need some perimeters. Wow. Perimeter spikes. Protect your land and your rights. They're gonna be razor sharp. Yeah. Except when I look at the video, it's just planks cut in angles to those perimeter spikes. Give me another word.
Karaoke.
Karaoke. Let's see. Tell me more. Let's see. Karaoke, tell karaoke. I will sing all that song. I want 50,000 million DVDs of that song. Yeah, but I'm just gonna eventually throw them away, but order them for me. Thanks, I'll give you a lot of money. Yeah, okay. I think I'm boofing this one pretty bad. Okay, go ahead, Joe. You can just say some words.
Thanks, everyone, for hanging out with us. Oh, this has been fun. I hope you've had fun. If you would like more Parks and Rewatch in your life, you can follow us on Instagram at Rewatch Parks. You can join the official Parks and Rewatch fan club on Facebook.
Tell me more. Did you get very far? Tell me more. Like, does he have a car? Yep.
We may not have a car collectively, but we do have a Patreon. Which,
so slick. Joe, tell me more about that Patreon.
We have three different support tiers, and if you sign up as a Pawnee Goddess or a Swanson, you get instant access to our after show exclusively for patrons, the Hawking Booths.
Wow. And you get video of what we're doing right now, which I think is really funny.
Yes, indeed you do. And show notes and things like that. Yeah.
Tell me more. What? Tell me more. Did you get very far? Wait, was it love at first sight? Tell me more. Tell me more. Oh no, this is very misogynistic.
But you know what's not misogynistic? Our email and the people who run it. If you would like to communicate with us and avoid general misogyny, send us an email at rewatchparks.
Because what we're trying to get you to know is that when you email us, you are stopping misogyny in its tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rewatchparks@gmail.com. And if you like us more than you like the movie Grease,
which should be a lot more,
then feel free to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and a rating on Spotify.
Okay. Yeah. What do we say?
Hey.